Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
First reading, I think, reminds me of clickbait. All Solomon had to do was pray for wisdom, and he got wisdom. Sweet. That's all we got to do. Give me wisdom, and I won't be the wisest. God said Solomon was the wisest, but second wisest. That'd be cool. That'd be nice. Doesn't work that way. It's not how God works. He's not clickbait. He's not a vending machine. I can't just put in the prayer I want, get the output I want. It's about sharing in God's work, His providence, His plan. Solomon already had some wisdom. God built upon something. Because it takes wisdom to pray for wisdom, don't you think? Not to get caught up in whatever the fear is. And there was the real grace for Solomon. Not to get caught up in the drama. The drama did not distract him from his mission. He could have been lost in, I need absolute power. I'm afraid of these people. I want money to have enough to do whatever I want to do. Or he could have forgotten the mission entirely and prayed for just himself. I want to be awesome. But he didn't. Remember the mission. Okay, God, there's a lot of people here, and these are your people. I need what I need to rule them really well. Because he knew what his mission was to serve them, to lead them. And so, by God's grace, he asked for the right thing, wisdom. But wisdom isn't always the thing to ask for, is it? Sometimes, God says, you got plenty of wisdom, I need to give you discernment to know what really is my will, to sift through things. Or maybe, yeah, you've got enough wisdom, I need to give you love, because you're mean. Right? He knows our hearts. Sometimes we're selfish. I need to give you more charity. I'm praying for the conversion of my children. Yeah, that's good. I need to love them first. Oh, Lord, I want to love them, but when they're Christians. We know it's silly. Lord, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? Give me that. There is a great prayer. Lord, show me what I'm supposed to pray for. What do you want me to long for, that your will can be accomplished? I need to give you patience. None of us like that one, right? We want the answer now. Give me the grace now. Patience. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Help me to wait as long as it takes, but in faith and in hope and in love. And in this great time, you're going to do great things. So it's knowing what to pray for. That's part of it. But the first part is knowing what the mission is. What am I here for, Lord? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the grace? And so we get to our gospel. The kingdom of heaven, it gives us three different images for what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's the big mission. To remember we're part of the kingdom of heaven. A part of what this new life God is giving us. And so learning how to share in that kingdom is important. And the first two are about finding something. And then, what am I willing to do to protect that thing? So sometimes we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord in Scripture is not about, I'm afraid of God, though he's pretty awesome, and that would be natural and kind of okay. The fear of the Lord is about protecting what I've encountered with God. So for example, think about your vocation. Say you're married. What are things you do and don't do to protect that vocation? What are conversations you have and don't have to protect that vocation? Where are places you go and don't go to protect that vocation? There are things we do to protect that vocation. Married, single even. As a single person, there are places I go and don't go to protect this vocation. Same thing with fear of the Lord, but it's about our relationship with God. What are things I do and don't do to protect this relationship I have with God? What are things I say and don't say to protect my relationship with God so that I can grow it and foster it? And so when I see this relationship with God, I need to see it for what it really is. The greatest treasure ever. The greatest gift ever. And so, Lord, vis-a-vis this relationship, this treasure, what do you want me to pray for? How do you want me to protect it on my end? What do you want to do to grow and protect this, that it gives the life it's meant to give? Because the other interpretation of those two images of the kingdom of heaven is the opposite. God sees us as that great treasure, and he sells everything he has, his whole life, to buy us. He gives everything to win us to his side. Pearl of great price, same thing. He sees us and says, you are so valuable, I'm going to give everything to buy you. That's what God's end of protecting this relationship looks like. He knew us before we were born and said, that person is worth dying for. I'm going to die for them, that they can become mine. I'm going to die for them, that they can know how precious they are. I'm going to die for them, that they can belong to me, and we can be together forever. That's how precious we are to God. Is God that precious to us? That's our question. Regularly, daily, moment to moment. Not in a guilt way. We can do a guilt trip like that. That doesn't get us very far, though. But we can do it in terms of longing and aspiration. Whew, God, are you worth dying for on my end? God, are you worth dying for on my end? Do I value this relationship that much? Do I trust this relationship that much? And it's okay to say, no, I don't, as long as we followed up with, but I'd like it to be. God, I invite you into all the ways I don't want to die for you. I like watching TV when I should be praying. I want to eat chocolate more than I should. I personally want to eat a lot of cookies. A lot of cookies. Oh. But I know they're not good for me, and they're not good for this relationship, and so I got to stop. I got to stop. Now, it may sound like a silly thing, but honestly, lots of little things build up to bigger things. Lots of little deaths build up to bigger deaths. And lots of little protections on my vocation build up to protecting it entirely. And so all the ways, Lord, I don't want to die, I invite you into. I invite you into. And that goes back to Solomon's prayer. Solomon knew he needed wisdom. Lord, show me what I need that can share life with you. Show me what I need that we can be together forever. And then don't be afraid to pray that prayer, whatever it is. Maybe it's big, maybe it's little. And it might change week to week, year to year, even day to day sometimes. Lord, show me what I need that we can share life with one another. Let's continue to seek the Lord. Remember our mission to be with God, to bring others with God. Let us ask him for what it is that we need to fulfill that mission. Let us turn our hearts to the Lord.